Please join with me in the prayer of invocation as printed in the bulletin. God of life and death, birth and rebirth, in this season of Lent, we begin our journey to the cross and to what is beyond. We pray that your Spirit will be with us here in worship and in the days to follow. Sharpen our focus that our attention may be centered more on you than ourselves. Awaken our minds that we might grasp the truth of your gift of love in Jesus. Stir our hearts that we might discover new truth, new hope, and new life. Be with us, God, in all that we say and all that we do. Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning. And welcome. Welcome this morning to old friends of this old and historic church. Welcome to new visitors who are searching for a new church home. And welcome to those of you who may have no idea why you are here. Welcome this morning to casual observers and to committed Christians. Welcome to believers, questioning believers, and disbelievers. Welcome to seekers after meaning, after music, or after retreat. Welcome to those who are hungry, those who are tired, and those who are worn. And welcome to those bursting with energy, those who have enough to share. And to those who have brand new, beautiful babies waiting for them at home. Welcome to people of all ages, hues, origins, abilities, and social locations, no matter who you love or what kind of body you have. Friends, welcome to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ. We hope that you meet God here in worship, that you walk right alongside Jesus, and that you find shelter in the Spirit. We are so glad you are here. I have a couple of announcements for you today. First, please note this yellow rose on the communion table. It has been placed there in honor of one Lillian Jane. Now, you might not have met her yet. You might not have even heard of her yet. But she is our newest bundle of joy, the younger sister of Noah and the daughter of Steve Hasmer, who is right back there in the back corner, and Casey Jones. Lillian was born this past Thursday, and John and I had a chance to meet her yesterday, and I can assure you that she is precious. So congratulations, Steve and Casey and Noah. Now, one thing you should know, Lillian was very, very eager to come into this world. She was so eager that she came 10 days early. So Steve and Casey, good planners that they were, they planned for their parents to start coming right on the due date and to stay for a couple weeks afterwards. Well, that means they're not quite here yet. And that means Steve and Casey have their hands full. And I want to thank this church. We have in the fridge, we have casseroles, we have dessert, we have food that's going to last you until your parents get here. So take it home with you today, Steve. A second announcement that I have is that we are going to be taking new members into this church on Palm Sunday. Yesterday, there were a whole bunch of people right there in the JE room who were meeting and talking about that process. If you are interested in becoming a member of this church, there is one more Connections class, one more chance to come and find out more. It will be this coming Thursday. It will be right after choir practice, about 6:15, 6:30-ish. If you haven't already let me know that you're going to be there, please let me know so we can plan for your attendance. I ask now at this point if there are other announcements that we have as a community, that everyone who has an announcement come on up now to either that microphone or this one, that we might share those announcements with the church.
Today is the third of our Lenten series, and Alice Wilmot's going to talk to us or with us about prayer, and we have a lot of great food out there. And second, at Open Table next week, not this Thursday, but the following week, we're in honor of St. Patrick, we're going to have corned beef and cabbage and potatoes. So I invite you all to come. David Palero is going to make it. It also happens to be his birthday. But I'd love to have a big turnout because we're going to make a lot, and you're all invited to come. It's free. You can make a donation, but come on. And anybody wants to make desserts, anybody knows what an Irish dessert is? I don't know. Let me know. Thanks.
Morning. This Saturday, 4 p.m., will be our third concert for our Music on Main concert series. It consists of one piano, many hands. It's Dr. Young Kim, who is a world-renowned pianist, Steinway artist. She's coming with some of her students from the College of St. Rose. One of the featured pieces is Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue for four hands. And hope to see you there again at 4 o'clock Saturday. Suggested donation, $15. Bring a friend, bring two friends. We'd love to see you all there. Thank you.
Let us then continue in our worship. As we draw before God in this time of confession, as people of faith, you and I are called to be many things, but near the top of that list is that you and I are called to be truth tellers. And truth be told, I am sure there have been some moments in this past week that we have not loved God with our whole hearts. And I think there might have been a couple of minutes this last week that we did not love our neighbors as fully and as completely as we love ourselves. And so we come to this time in confession, not as punishment or not as guilt, but rather that we can lay down our burdens that we carry and that we can accept God's grace that is abundantly offered. Friends, once again, let us turn to our prayer of confession based on Psalm 32. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long.
Strength was dried up as by the heat of sun.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. Amen. Friends, the truth is this. It has always been this, that you are God's beloved, not for anything you have done, not for anything you have left undone, but because of who you are, God's own child, created in God's very image. Hear this good news, that we are a forgiven people. Leave your burdens behind. And I invite you now to stand as you are able, that we might sing our praise to God. At the end of the Gospel of John, right before Jesus returned to his heavenly home, he looked his disciples straight in the eye, and he said to them, "It is my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you." He did it with only one small string attached, that those disciples give that peace away recklessly, that they give it away boldly, that they spread it to the corners of the earth, that all might know that peace. So that's what we do this morning. I invite you to move around this room as you're able. Be reckless, be bold, and share the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you. Good morning.
Welcome back. ready for Elijah?
I'm so glad you're back.
On the other hand,
could I have all the children come up for a children's chat? Right here. Robin, just hold on to it for me, okay? You guys want to come up? No? Okay. You want to sit down? Why don't you come here, Morgan? Okay. Good morning. Good morning, yeah. Good morning, Hannah. Good morning. So we just listened to the hymn that we've been learning, In the Bulb There is a Flower, and we're going to learn the third verse today. I'm Marjorie, and I'm really happy to be here with you. This, can anybody tell me what this is? Can you hold it up, Morgan, so everyone can see? Can you tell me what that is? Does anybody know? You want to come and take a look? Do you know what it is, Harvey? Nope. This is a bulb. So our song is called In the Bulb There is a Flower. We just dug this out of the ground this morning. Yeah, there's the flower. Yeah, yeah. But do you see what's coming out of the top of it? Right? Well, I realized that this bulb is kind of like our life with God, right? So what's on the bottom? What's this stuff? Roots. And what do the roots have to do? Can the bulb... That's right.
They suck up the nutrients in the ground and like the water in the ground and stuff from the ground and then they help the plant grow that.
That's right. Do you think that the bulb can survive without the earth?
No.
Can it give a flower?
No.
Okay. So we have these roots. Well, we're kind of like that too. We have to stay connected to God. And under the right conditions then, what happens? Yeah, we get a flower. And our song, right, you see that? Does anybody know what that is?
Daffodil.
This is a daffodil bulb. You see it? It's like kind of like a seed, right?
Looks like a potato.
So, where's my, let's see. So, I realized that our song, was kind of a map how to live with God. So in the first verse, we have, in the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. Does anybody know that one? In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. So we're going to sing, the congregation and everyone.
Oh, thanks.
We're going to sing through this hymn today, okay? So we have the first verse. And the second verse, and the first verse is like about the changing seasons, right? What season are we in now? Does anybody know?
Winter.
Winter, that's right. And what's coming next? That's right. And this bulb, you see how it's already growing? It's getting ready for spring. It's almost spring. And soon enough, we're going to have these kinds of flowers popping out all over the place. But we don't know, when we see this bulb, we don't know what the flower is going to look like yet, do we? That's a little bit like our life. And in the second verse, it tells us kind of how to live our life. Being connected to God, seeking Him, and listening, right? And in the third verse, it talks about what Madonna said about God's promise to us, right? His faithfulness to us and His love for us. And He loved us so much that He gave us, what season are we looking forward to? Easter, right? So He gave us His Son. The season is spring, but we're in the season of Lent. That's right. The holiday coming after Lent, we're in Lent right now, is Easter. So the last verse tells us about Jesus' death, resurrection on the cross, and how we are promised his love forever, right? So that's the last verse. And it reminds me of something that I used to, I went to a Catholic university and I sang in a Catholic church for a long time, and they called the mystery of faith these three phrases: Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again, right? And so we believe in that, and we live our life with hope and love. I love you too. So we're going to sing this song together, okay? And I want you to listen for this last phrase of each verse. Can you repeat after me? Unrevealed. Until its season. Something God alone can see. And this is how this sounds. Unrevealed until its season. Something God alone can see. Okay? So if Evan would help us, I think we can all sing this together, all three verses, and you'll find it in the bulletin. Okay? You guys ready?
In the bulletin. A flower in the seed an apple tree, in the blooms a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free, in the cold snow of winter there's a spring that waits to be.
Here it comes.
Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking words and melody. There's a tone for every darkness, bringing hope to
in our time infinity, in our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity, in our death a resurrection, at the last a victory, unrevealed until let's just say a little prayer together, okay? Dear God, thank you for the changing seasons, and thank you for giving us everlasting life through your Son, Jesus Christ, and help us to live our lives so that we can experience your love and joy, and that we will listen and hear your voice and understand the gifts and talents that we each have. In this we pray. Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Want to go to Sunday school? You want to put that up there? Put that right there. Looks right there.
Today's psalm reading is Psalm 63, verse 1 through 8. O God, you are my God, and I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in the dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. May God add a blessing to this reading.
Flora was alone. Flora was 93 years old, and she was light as a feather. Flora lived in the McAllister Nursing Home in Tinley Park, Illinois, where I was privileged to serve as the dishwasher. Now, Flora was a gift. She had this huge, this beautiful smile that was made all the bigger because there were no teeth in Flora's mouth to get in the way. So her smile, it just kept going. But Flora was alone. The pictures in her room showed a very large family. But I was told that family, they lived in Florida. And in the few years that I worked at that nursing home, I never once saw them come to visit. Flora was a talker. She would sit in her chair by the window, and she would talk nonstop. The reality was there was no one there for her to talk to. Flora was alone. She was locked in her memories of the past. Her speech, it was full of energy, but the words were gibberish. She spoke almost every minute of every day and almost always to herself, but not always. Because you see, if you sat next to Flora, if you pulled up a chair and sat next to her, and if you started saying the Lord's Prayer, if you just started saying those words, her gibberish, it would stop on a dime. Her voice would suddenly become clearer and stronger. Her eyes would become animated and focused. Flora would actually look you in the eye, and she would say every single word with you, taking the words not from her memory, but from her heart. And in those words, Flora was there again. She was transported over time and place. She was really with you in that room, and she was with God. That's what prayer does. It transports us in time and place. King David was alone. King David, when he wrote the psalm that Josh read for us this morning, he had been driven out of Jerusalem by an angry son. David had made a terrible mistake, and his son chased him out of town for it, taken away from throne and temple. He was in the middle of the wilderness, both literally and figuratively. David was alone when he wrote this psalm, separated from family and temple. David wrote this psalm as a prayer. And alone in the wilderness, he sat in his chair. And he said this prayer, he would have said it over and over and over again, not just to himself, but as a prayer to God. He said this prayer until, like Flora, these words were engraved not just up here, but until those words were engraved on his heart, until by the very act of saying them, the distance went away and David was brought closer to God and to family. He said this prayer. Don't know if you recognize those words, but those have been the words of the prayer we have been saying as the prayers of the people each and every week in Lent. Oh God, you are my God. It is you whom I seek. My soul, my very life, it thirsts for you. More than the creature comforts of the palace, more than the joy of being surrounded by family, what David missed most out there in the wilderness was God. David, we know, was far from perfect. David, he had some big flaws. Not just this incident where he could not punish one of his sons who had done unspeakable things, but remember, Bathsheba wasn't originally his wife. Bathsheba was someone else's wife, and David had her husband killed in battle so he could steal her. David was far from perfect. But David's whole life, you see, it was lived in the company of God. He experienced God's love and forgiveness. Maybe it was even because of his shortcomings that God came to mean all the more to him. I don't know about you, but I can certainly relate to that kind of an idea. And so now in the wilderness, separated from God, he feels alone. If you look at that word in this prayer where it says David seeks God, that's a weak English translation of what that Hebrew word would have meant. That Hebrew word meant an all-encompassing, intensive search for God with your whole being. And David is clear in this prayer that he is doing just that. Your love, O God, David says, it's greater than life itself. You have been my help and my protection. My life, it clings to you. It is a prayer that David would have said over and over again until it was engraved on his heart so that even in the deepest wilderness, David was never truly alone. This week in our Lenten series after church, we are in fact looking at this very kind of prayer, a prayer that's repeated over and over again until it becomes second nature, until, as Lauren Winner says, we get past the words. Because once we get past the words, once we no longer focus on the words, she says, we are more fully free to enter into the act of praying, fully free to participate in the very life of God. Friends, we have started every service in Lent with the exact same Taze chant, that those words might be engraved on your heart. And as I looked out today, I saw people singing with their eyes shut. We have prayed the very same confession prayer until we can trust those words and be open. We have prayed this Psalm of David every week until they become second nature. Friends, we have done it not because it's easier on me, not because it makes planning worship easier because we're doing the same thing each week, but rather so that we get past the words and find God in prayer. Because when we do, the prayer takes us somewhere else, beyond our worries, our fear, or our loneliness. It is what prayer does. It allows us to be in the midst of the deepest wilderness we can imagine, and still be connected to God. In Lent, we remember that there was another person who was alone. He was surrounded by great crowds. He was surrounded by people seeking hope or health. He was surrounded by disciples who loved him, but he was still alone. Surrounded by great throngs of people, Jesus nonetheless was still alone. He was alone with what he knew he faced in Jerusalem. He was alone with what he knew he had to do. He was alone in his task. There was no one else around him, not even his disciples, who could relate to what he had to do. In Luke's gospel, the gospel we travel with this year, it tells us that Jesus did what David did before him. He prayed. In Luke's gospel, Jesus prayed at his own baptism. Jesus prayed before picking the disciples. He prayed on that mountaintop before he glowed. He prayed when he was tired. Jesus prayed that night over this bread and over this cup, knowing that prayer connected him to God. He prayed in the garden. And yes, he prayed from the cross, knowing that God's steadfast love is better than life. Here in Lent, we too have followed this practice. We have tried to pray these words of David in this psalm Josh read over and over again, so they might become engraved on your hearts, so that you might remember them on your bed in the midst of night, so that they might become the wings of a mother hen to you, coddling you, nurturing you, comforting you, conforming to the very shape of your needs. It is what prayer does. So here and now, I invite you to hear these words again and let them echo through your heart until they become engraved upon your heart, until your heart's eyes open like Flora's does, attentive and full of life, until your faith is rock solid like David's, no matter what wilderness you find yourself in, until you can answer Jesus's call to follow him no matter where the road leads, until the words become secondary to the presence of God in your heart. Friends, I invite you to close your eyes, to hear these words, and then we will sing our way. Following these words, we are going to sing our way into prayer, a time where you alone pray to God in silence, but a time where you are anything but alone. Hear again these words in prayer. O God, you are my God, whom I seek. My soul, my life has always thirsted for you. My flesh has yearned for you in a dried out and exhausted land without water. I have looked for you in the sanctuary, seeking to behold your power and glory, for I know, God, that your steadfast love, it is better than life. I will praise you, God, as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands in praise. My soul and my life is content as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth praises you with joyful lips whenever I remember you on my bed or meditate on you in the midst of night. You have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I rejoice. My soul, my life, it clings to you. God, your right hand, it holds me fast. all of these prayers, God. All of them that are on our hearts and minds, we lift to you. All of those prayers for which we have no words, we lift them to you. And now, God, we break our silence. We join together in one voice. We cling to you and to one another as we pray together the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying with one voice, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, each and every week, we gather to remember with gratitude what we have been given. And each and every week, we remember that we have a chance to likewise share and give. It is what we do each and every week when we take an offering. We will do it again right now, this morning.
Thank you.
God, source of all we are and all we might yet be. We give these gifts back to you. We trust them into your care, and God, we ask that you bless them. Bless them that they may become ministries of love and grace and peace. And God, bless us in the act of giving them, that we may go forth in love. We ask all of this in the name of our brother, our teacher, our role model, and our Savior, the one we know as Jesus. Amen. Friends, I invite you, from wherever you are, from wherever your heart is right now, wherever your life is right now, I invite you to gather around this table, to bring yourself here just as you are, that you might be fed and that you might be nourished. Friends, this is an open table, and by that we mean this. We know that this is not our table. We know that this is the table of Jesus. And we know that you are all invited, whether you are baptized or not, whether you are confessed or not, whether you believe a little or a lot, whether you came here today with joy in your heart or whether you came here with sorrow in your bones. You are welcome at this table just as you are. So I hope you will come. Friends, we remember the story of this table. That on the night in which Jesus gave his life for us, on the night in which Jesus showed us just how much he loved us, he gathered his disciples around this very table. And on that night, he took bread. He gave thanks for that bread. He blessed that bread, and he broke it right there in front of them. And he said to them, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the fruit of the vine, he took the cup, and he raised it up in front of them. He gave thanks for it, and he blessed it, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood that has been poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." It is that story that we gather once again today to remember, to share, and to feast upon. Friends, I need your help. I ask you to help me bless this table. If you could raise a hand or both hands in the ancient sign of Christian blessing and aim all of your love towards this table, and if you lift up your eyes, you will notice that your blessings, in addition to blessing this table, bless one another, for you are blessing the choir, and they are blessing you. Let us pray. Holy God, send your Spirit down among us. Send your Spirit into this bread. Send your Spirit into this cup, that this meal may become for us a holy feast, that we may experience the very real presence of Jesus here and now. God, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and this meal to the nourishment of our lives, that we may evermore your faithful servants be. And the whole church says, Amen. Friends, just in case you're not entirely sure that you were really invited to this table, we remember this, that on the night Jesus first served this table to his disciples, there was among them one who was going to betray Jesus in the garden. There was another who was going to deny him not just once, but three times. And every single one of those disciples was going to leave him in his greatest hour of need. He knew it. And he shared that meal with them anyway, so surely he would share that meal with each and every one of us. Know this, so that there might not be any barrier to you. This bread, it is gluten-free. I will tell you this. Today we are trying a new recipe, a new homemade recipe for our gluten-free bread. So it does have milk and it does have egg in it. If that is a barrier for you, I apologize. And please let me know so we do not do that again. The cup, it has unfermented grape juice. Let there be no barriers. Come, all of you, for the feast has been prepared for you. Friends, this is the bread of life. Take now and eat.
hope of salvation. Friends, this is the cup of salvation, and it has been poured out for you. Drink now, all of you. Friends, after a feast such as this, it is only right that we offer a prayer of thanksgiving. And here in this church, we do it in two ways. First, we do so with our lips, with our voice. And then secondly, we do it with our lives. Each week that we offer communion, we take up a collection of either money or food for the food pantry. And so once our spoken prayer is done, please bring those items forward. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks because your steadfast love is greater than life itself. We give you thanks for this meal and for the one who first gave it to us. God, we give you thanks, quite frankly, for everything. We offer all of this in the name of the one whose table this is. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, our time of worship here within these walls is drawing to a close, that our worship of God beyond these walls may begin anew. Before we go forth, a couple of invitations for you. First, each and every one of you are invited to join us through those doors after worship for a time of food and fellowship. I hope you will come. Second, you are invited this coming Wednesday night to hear a staged opera right here in this room. We will be doing The Beasts, which got snowed out earlier. It is at 7:30, correct, David? All are welcome. A free will offering will be taken to benefit both our music program and also a fund that made a grant to the opera. So friends, let us end our worship singing "For the Bread Which You Have Broken."
For the bread which you have broken.
Friends, as you go forth from this place, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God just enough that you need truly fear nothing else at all. Friends, go in peace to love God and to love one another. And let the church say, Amen.